need somebody to hand these out for me, if you would. There you go. Make sure that it's fine. And of course, there's always a little blank to fill in to kind of keep you connected with the message tonight. We sang some songs tonight that really, if we paid attention to what we were singing, it was to bring our focus back to where it should be, and that's on the things that of the Lord. If you know the Lord, you have what they call eternal life. That good? That's life that begins and what? It never ends. And you say, well, I'm going to die someday. Well, your life, we pass from death to what?
Life.
Life. So we never taste death. The Bible says Jesus tasted death for every man if you're born again. Very, very important to know that. And so we're going to go to the book of Colossians. So if you want to take your Bible and turn there, I'm going to look at 6 verses out of the book of Colossians. And in these 6 verses, I'm actually going to go try to preach through this whole book at some point. And I guess thank you. And I think I put a sermon key in there so you can kind of get an idea of the direction that I'm going, is that sometimes we forget that we have eternal life. That's like we serve our Creator. We serve God, the God of heaven. We're not in love with this world.
That's right.
The world is not our home. Like the song says, we're just a passing. It's that Bible says, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so our focus isn't on making a living necessarily or a career. As much as we love our families, that's part of it, but it's not what eternal life is. God has a purpose and a plan. And once you keep that focus where it needs to be, and he opens up this part of the Bible as the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Colossians, and he starts off with that understanding, or helping them to understand that. So if you'll stand as we read God's word together, and we're going to read just 6 verses. Colossians chapter number 1. Starting in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore you've heard before the word of truth, the gospel, which has come unto you as is into all the world, and bringeth forth, and I just want you to note that, it bringeth forth what? Fruit. It bringeth forth fruit. As it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, you have a divine purpose that we live out this life, this eternal life that began when we became born again. And Father, that our focus would be on your will and your word, what you'd have us to be and what we need to recognize as the central theme of our life. And so I pray you give us that readjustment tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. So the idea there, if God is, and he is, whether you recognize it or have put that as a high priority in your life, the idea of glorifying God will then require attributes, and he mentions these, of faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that will carry you through in this world. And we're going to break some of those things down, and it has to be a daily focus. If it's not a daily focus of faith, hope, and love, you will not have that kind of walk with God that you're supposed to have. As a child of God, we're supposed to, the just shall live by? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so the idea there that God is going to, and if you know, if you read through the 1 Corinthians 13, he says that these three items were mentioned there as well, the greatest of which was what? Love. Faith, hope, and love. So we're going to look at this idea, what faith means. And that idea of faith is important. We receive that in order to be born again. God gives that the ability, first of all, to worship. You know, we came into this world and having no connection with God, okay? But when you get to heaven, what's it going to be like? Ever think about that? We're going to have a millennial reign where Christ is going to reign, right? He's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's a prince of this power of the air which now rules in this world. He's just a prince, as Pastor says. He isn't the king. And so we're to live now just as if we were serving the King of Kings, even though it's not the millennium. Just as though we're not in heaven yet, but we have our conversation in heaven, or should have it in heaven. That means what you do with your daily life should be your idea of, first of all, to worship. What does it mean to worship? The idea that it says it defines if we're to worship Him, we're to worship Him in what? In spirit and in what? Truth. So if you can't follow, I'm going to give some verses. We're going to look at them together. 1 Samuel 12 and 24. But we're going to start back in verse number 23. 1 Samuel 12 and verse number 23, Old Testament. Here the prophet mentions, he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way." And so God has given us that He does the same purpose in the church, right? That even though we are living in this world, we have, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're born again. He says God wants to teach you what? The good and the right way. What pleases God? Faith pleases God, right? We know that. And so he says in the next verse, he says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." Amen. I spent some time looking at that on Sunday, is raising our understanding who God is and appreciation of who He is. We sang some songs tonight, right? Now, I don't know about you, I like singing. And if you focus this, I'm not singing to Will, by the way. We're not singing to the wall, and really we're only singing to the Lord, but we all enjoy that relationship of who He is. We're worshiping. That's what our life will be like in the idea in the days to come. So we worship in that's genuine and it's from the heart. 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. Again, back in the Old Testament. Not too far from where you were at. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 3. The Bible says, "I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth with" what? A perfect heart. That means that you have a walk with God, that God knows what's on your heart. You want Him to know what's on your heart. And what you do and your motivations for what you do are not for here, but for Him. All right? Our focus, is the idea of worshiping Him in spirit and truth. And so He gives us this idea that when we're worshiping in spirit, we're going to, "I've walked before thee with a perfect heart. I've done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, did God hear his prayer? He meant it, didn't it? Came from his heart. Let me ask you, when you pray, is it sincerely? I say, I need God's intervention in my life. I need it with my spouse and with my kids. I need it when I work. I need God to be involved. God has a purpose and a plan, and that is part of that worshiping him in spirit. What does it mean to worship in truth? Psalm 33 and verse number 4. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, for thy word, O Lord, is right, and all his works are done in truth. All his works are done in truth. That means what you plan to do with your daily life, he's going to be involved in it, all right? Your purpose with your family and with your church and with the ministry that God's given you, it's because God has shown you what his will is. And he desires us to walk in that and to do that and accomplish that. That's a work of faith. And it's accomplished through spirit and truth. Secondly, you see, their faith is not only a worship, faith is to obey. All right? He is, again, he's what? Our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, right? We owe him everything. So to obey him in truth, 2 Timothy, you probably read that, or you might know that by heart. 2:15, the Bible says we're what? To study, to show. Stay with me now, guys. Maybe you can say it with me. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, what does that mean? If that means if I don't study and find out what God's will is for my life, am I going to accomplish and I'm going to obey him? Right? First act of obedience. Somebody tell me what the first act of obedience as a Christian is. Baptism. That's the very first thing that's on God's list. Believe and be. That's communicating to the world. I was doing my own thing, right? I was doing what I wanted to do in this world. And now I am testifying through the baptism that now I'm a new creature, all right? Look around. I was dead in sins and trespasses, and God has made me new creature. Not through baptism. That's just a demonstration. I always like what somebody's told me. He says they pull out their wallet and they, well, you probably wouldn't recognize me. All right? I've got a beard in that picture, so that tells you how old this license is. All right? And I'd ask you, who's this? And it says, well, that's you. I said, no, it's not me. I know you don't have a beard now, but that's you. I said, well, no, it isn't. It says, this is only a picture of me. Baptism isn't salvation. It's a picture of salvation. The thief on the cross didn't have time to be baptized. So to read and study God's word, that ought to be, I'm so excited about having the Institute. The Faith Bible Institute. I mean, it's pressing on us a little bit to get it done and get all the reading done and studying. But I'm learning. I don't know about you. How many are enjoying that? I'm enjoying that. I'm learning things, and it should be that way. Man, we're learning new truths every day, and so God is giving us the opportunity to, as we study His Word, to figure out how I do obey. How many remember the examples of the kings in the Old Testament? Wow, they just didn't get it, did they? And it got worse. I mean, it got worse. And worser, can I say that? Okay. Worstest, okay, whatever you want to say. It didn't go well. And it was all because they didn't trust Christ by faith to do his will, okay? So faith is in order to obey, faith to do God's will above your own. Philippians 2:13. If you haven't memorized that, I encourage you to. It is God that worketh in you both to what? Will and what? To do of his good pleasure. God works in you. That means when you study his word
and you say, God, I want my will not to be done. I want your will to be done here on earth, in my life, in my family, where I'm at, as it is in heaven. That's God's divine purpose. He wants you to have that trusting and that confidence in who you're serving. Secondly, I want you to look at the idea of hope. Now, I'm going to spend a little more time on this because I think when we think of hope, it's like somebody, I hope I have $1 million in the bank. That's, you desire to have $1 million in the bank. You wish you had $1 million in the bank. But you don't hope you have a million because you know you don't have it. All right? And you could say, I hope that my car doesn't break down today. No, you wish your car doesn't break down. You desire your car don't break down today. The kind of hope that we're talking about here is the idea of, like, think of it as like eternal life. Okay, well, I hope I get to go to heaven. Does that sound right? But it is true. My hope is in heaven, right? It's how you say it. It's how you think about it. And so when you think of it, it's futuristic and eternal. We're to lay up treasures. Listen to me. We're to lay up treasures where? In heaven. He said, where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. Right? So the idea there that we're not thinking about, well, I'd like to have this nice car and this $80,000 Ford F-150, you know, that does everything but dance through the street, you know. Name it, claim it. Here you go, brother. But that's not where my hope is. My hope is that we get a chance to talk to somebody about Jesus. I get to talk, what was the guy we've been praying for? Todd? I met a man today, yesterday, and he was out there, he was walking his dog, and the Lord just opened up an opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. And come to find out, he's searching. He's reading his Bible. What an amazing thing. I don't know, I gave him a track, I encouraged him, I gave him the gospel the best I could. But I'm hoping someday I'll see him in heaven. Actually, he told me where his son lives in Darrington. So I'm going to try to go up and visit his son and up in Darrington. Now I'm hoping both him and his father will be in heaven. What a praise that would be. Right? And what a rejoicing that. I have 18 grandchildren. I want to all, every one of them to know Jesus as their Savior. That's my hope. That would be a treasure laid up in heaven, an accomplishment God has done. So we look at this. First of all, we're going to look at some verses together. First of all, that hope has to be for yourself. Let me just stop just for a minute here. The hope in yourself is hope in eternal life. If you don't have that hope, if it's got, well, maybe so, think so, not sure so, whatever so, it has to be a what? It has to be a no so. There's one mantra I repeated over and over, you need to know for sure. Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross of Calvary long before you were ever born. He didn't pay for some of it. He paid for all of it. From the day you were born to the day you die. The price for your soul has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only requirement for you is to see you need it. See you need it. And when you really come to the understanding that there's none righteous, no, not one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And listen, it isn't pretty for those that reject the gospel. The gospel is God loves you, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you enough to send his only son to pay the penalty for your sin. How great a love is this? Oh, man, I don't know how many songs in the hymn book, Will or somebody could tell me, every one of them point to the cross. The most well-known verse in the Bible is what? John 3:16. Even lost people know that verse. Why? It's because God loves you. It's that very idea in Romans 10, 17. The Bible says, the goodness of God leads men to repent. They change their mind. Boy, is God good. Why does God love me and die for me? Isn't that great? But you know, we don't want people, we don't want God to rule over us. That's what holds people up. It's not that they don't understand the Bible. It's that they want to lead their own life. They don't want to follow their Creator. They don't want rewards in heaven. They're thinking about the here and now, what I can do today, what I can do tomorrow. But listen, God's purpose for your life is glorious. Right, Don? Great thing. Remember the day you got saved? Wasn't that good? The day that Christ knocked on your door and says, you need me. What a great day that was. For me, it's over 40 years. 40 years. I can't get over it. I hope I never get over it. Great. Well, let's look at some verses together. The hope of eternal life, 1 John 5:7, if you can get there. We're going to read verse number 7 and 8. The Bible says, therefore, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. They bear record in where? Heaven. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. What's God given us? He says there's a connection there between the truth of God about their bare record of our salvation. They bear record in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they agree. So God gives us an opportunity. Look at verse number 11 through 13 in 1 John. And this is the record. What is the record? Read it with me. If you have your Bibles, 1 John 5:11. For this is the record that God hath given to us, what? Eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son hath what? Not life. And that, so God had purpose for you and I. And that purpose is you got to know for sure where you're going to go when you die. So that hope in yourself, but secondly, you have to have a hope for others. I think when you have a hope for yourself, the automatic thing is you start thinking about your close people around you, right? Oh, how about my relatives? How about my mom, my dad, my friends, right? So God, this futuristic hope is not only for yourself, but it's for others. Psalm 40:10 gives us that understanding. Psalm 40:10, he says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What does it say? That should be what our focus is. I'm focused. Man, I'm excited about my salvation. But immediately, you say, whoa, if that's true for me, then look at all the folks around me that need Jesus. And so you folks, and that's why the church is here. He didn't translate us right out of here when we got saved. He kept us for a purpose. For the town and the area of Arlington, and we're stretching out and we're pushing ourselves, Darrington, and we're going to Sonomish. And then we got a whole wall full of folks out here that are going to try to reach in other parts of the world. You say, well, that takes money and that takes time and that takes prayer. But isn't it good? God's going to use you and me. You and me. For that divine purpose of futuristic. You're going to be a part of that. That millennial reign that someday we'll be a part of. They will be with us. And let's do what God's called us to do. Another one. So that our salvation is for others, but it's for their growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2.
Peter mentions here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So God gives us the ability to grow. So when someone gets saved, the very first thing you want to do, we got to get these babes off the milk and onto the meat. We have ABCs for Christian growth, right? How many's taking ABCs for Christian growth? It ought to be the very first thing you say, Marco Polo. And my sister, she's 2 hours difference in time and her life's a different direction. So I said, well, let's just Marco Polo each other. That way at least we can communicate to some degree. And so she communicated to me today, and she just, her and her husband Steve just recently got saved. Steve's 80 years old, by the way. 80 years old and he got saved. What a miracle that was. And he said, Kurt, like, that's what my family calls me, go by my middle name. Kurt, he says, we're at Bible study. And so she turned the camera around and showed me there's Pastor and Steve and a couple other people. I said, sis, this is so good. I said, that's what God wants you to do. I told her, I said, you need to be discipled. Ask your pastor to get me somebody to disciple. He's discipling her. Man, that's you got to grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the devil takes, if you don't grow, man, you're a target for the devil. He's after you. Target's on your back. You don't want that. Get in your Bible. I told my sister that I just love to be around new Christians. They're just bubbly and they're excited and they can't get enough of the Bible. That's the way it should be. And they shouldn't lose that. Right? Marquis? You're doing ABCs, right? I need to sit down with you, too. I think I missed last week. We'll do that this week. Drop the ball. Sorry about that. So it's for others and for their growth. Hope that endures trials. Now, this is a biggie. Because, well, guess what? There's going to be trials. Not one trial, but trial, plural, trials. And they're going to come every day. In some form or another. And so the idea there is that if we're going to have a futuristic, we got to expect and endure that hope that God gives us endures trials. I want us to look, let's do a little focus on the word hope. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans. We got time. Romans chapter number 5. That's such a great word. Again, it's not wishful thinking, it's not desire, but it's a solid understanding. What's the Bible say? Faith cometh by, no, it's a definition of faith. Somebody spouted out for me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, what? The evidence of things not seen. So the hope we're talking about here is not like a hope you got $1 million. It's hope that's laid up for you in heaven. For sure, guaranteed. So chapter 5, look it down with me at verse number 2. Let's do verse number 1 just to get it all in there. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And what's it say? We rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God. So we're excited that what God is going to do in our life will bring him what? Glory. Man, I get to do things for God's glory today. Look at verse number 3. Not only so, but we glory. Come on, say it with me. We glory in what? No, you didn't say that. That don't say that, does it? We glory in what? Tribulation. It says that idea also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. All right. Why? Because we see God doing some things in our trials. Sharpening us up. making us stronger in the Lord, not weaker. And so God does a work through these trials. Let's look at some other verses together. Chapter 8. It's good stuff, folks. Write it down. 8:20. 8:20. For the creature, that's you and me if you didn't know that, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. But as the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. So he, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by, that was kind of meek or weak, all right? We are saved by hope, for that we see not, then do we wait patiently for it. So God is saying what? Hope's a pretty important part of the Christian life, isn't it? So we are, the constant focus is because of the hope that God has given me. Every soul that you see, say that you have hope for them. You have hope for your kids. You have hope for your, in my case, my grandkids. I hope for every one of you. I have hope for Darrington. I have hope for Snohomish. Say it three times. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Here we go. We're talking about enduring trials. Verse number 12, rejoicing in. 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in, continuing instant in. All right, you're on the same page. So trials are not a big deal. No, they are a big deal. You just need to trust the Lord in them. All right? If you haven't got trials, they're coming. All right. So we endure trials, but also I don't have this in 2 Corinthians, if you will. I want us to read that one as well. I think it's quite a testimony. 2 Corinthians, just a few pages back in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives this testament. Starting in verse number 11. I mean, chapter 11, verse number 28. I'll get it right yet. He talks about his testimony. We have to back up. 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily in the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. What's he saying? He's saying that in verse number 31, the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artius, the king, kept the city Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to apprehend me, and through the window in a basket was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. There's trials in ministry. So there is going to be some challenges. So we're going to go through these, start these works in Darrington and in Snohomish and other areas. There's going to be challenges we're going to have to face. But hey, it's, look at it as the idea that it's going, your hope is going to endure. Let's look at the last thing. We know love is the key centerpiece. We read that in John 3:16 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So that idea is that, first of all, is that love toward God. And one of the things we love about God is this holiness. First Thessalonians. If you take your Bible and turn there with me, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To this end, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that love toward God is God's holiness. He wants us to have that same desire to be, he says, be ye holy for what? I am holy. Secondly, we also want to see God's goodness. God's goodness. Psalm 31 and verse number 19 says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So we have a love toward God. Very, as the pastor mentioned, I think Sunday, he was talking about the two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, spirit, and might or strength, whichever time, whatever way you want to read it. And then the second is likened it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But that primary idea, if we're going to have a glorifying God, it's going to require us to stay focused in this idea of this futuristic hope, this faith that is based upon worship and obedience. But thirdly, it's going to be this love, this idea that we love God. Why do we love him? We love him because of his holiness. Psalm 31 is and 19, we love him because of his goodness. Secondly, we love him toward believers. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you what? The good and the right way. It ought to be. It ought to be that we take people under our arm and we love them. The idea of loving individuals is not say, well, I love you, brother. No, there's going to be meat to that, okay? It's going to show. People are going to know. That all the people, when people come in, we want to greet. You know when the best time to greet somebody new in the church? Anybody know? Matt, you know. When's the best time to greet somebody? Before they walk in the door. When, Matt? As soon as they start opening the door. You know the hardest 50 feet for anybody coming new to the church is? That 50 feet from their car to the doorway. When are you going to start showing them love? The door open. Hey, how are you doing? Glad you're here. And you walk out to meet them and greet them. We went to a church out in Pennsylvania one time and it was raining. Cats and dogs, okay? It was raining a lot. I mean, it was pouring down. And we pulled up in what was called a guest. I said, well, I guess we can park right here. It says guest. We don't go to this church. We no more than got the car to the curb, they came running out with umbrellas on each side of the car and brought us into the church. They were loving on us before we even got into church. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can love on people. And the first thing is praying for them. You want to show the love of God. God works through your prayers. God gives grace through your prayers. We have a prayer list. I don't know about you, but I keep mine with me all the time. And I write it down. So I got some new names on there. I got Tammy and Scott and their family, Diego, Estrin, Weston, and Owen. And it's great to be able, when we went out there, we got some new people. People that came Sunday night. I didn't get all of them, but I got two of them. Dave and Eileen. Pray for them. Who knows? God works through your prayers. The believers you want to pray for, believers, you pray for them. You minister to them. Acts 8, 20, 20. And how I kept nothing back that was profitable for you, but it showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. The Apostle Paul speaks.
That's the idea of loving on your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Sometimes things happen to people. You know, one of the things, I'm guilty of this, so let me air my dirt, all right? Things don't go well with me, you know what I want to do? I want to isolate. And that's what happens when people don't come to church for a while. Not every case, but all of a sudden you don't, where are they at? You haven't heard anything from them. Something's discouraged them. It's okay to reach out to them. Get them on the phone, call them. Hey, everything okay? I didn't miss you on Sunday. It's nice to have that, somebody calling and say, hey, they missed me at church. I wonder where I was at. It's okay. You have to be able to minister to them. But lastly, this love doesn't just extend to God and to believers, it extends to the lost. Boy, this is so important. I talked about humility the other day. Humility is so, you know why humility, you know why we don't talk to people about Jesus? Number one, why don't we talk about? Pride. We are afraid, right? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs that if we allow fear, matter of fact, I think it's actually in the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Don't fear people. If you're fearing to give a track out, then ask God to break your pride. Help him to see, I'm a nothing. When you're going to love people, you've got to come to grips with your own issues, okay? And if you say, well, I just am just shy, and I'm, that's not loving the lost. You reach out to them. And you take the risk. They may say, get out of my life. But that's okay, because you're a nothing. And you're a nobody, all right? And you were just loving on them through Jesus. So when we have that, we love them, not fear them. Don't be afraid. We love them with the gospel. Mark chapter 8, and verse 35. The whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall what? Save it. You lose your life. What does he mean? I'm going to give a gospel out and I'm going to lose my life? Is that what he means? No, my life, what people think about me doesn't matter. You've lost your life. It doesn't matter what people think about you. Love on them. Give them a chance. You may only be planting a seed. Who knows how God could use that? Because we're looking where? Eternally. We're looking beyond the here and now, what people think. I want to lay some treasures up in heaven. We memorized that verse. Who can say that verse for me? Anybody? And thieves do not break into. Yeah. That's a good verse, right? Folks, I hope that that's been encouragement to you. I want you to understand these are primary. When you think of glorifying God, it's going to require us to stay focused. What's those three things? Faith, hope, love. If you keep those in mind as you get up out of bed every morning, faith toward God, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to obey God, hope, in myself, my own personal life is sanctified and prepared to go to heaven. I'm going to glorify Him, God, through prayer, faithfully in church, I have hope not only for myself but for others. I have hope when the things don't go so well in my life, and I have a love toward God and toward believers and for the lost. Don't do that. You didn't know he's seen that. Did you just ask him what he did? And then he'll tell you after church. All right. Well, let's close the word of prayer.